I'm sorry for chewing while I'm saying this really crappy podcasting, but there you go.
Got our new tag slogan, really crappy podcasting.
The Sunday Skypers.
Anywho, so my plan is to be here, but not in a primary speaking role. Does that mess with your plots and shenanigans?
Not really. I'm sure you can grunt your way through most of the interaction. Yeah. Would have been great to have Slate here to fill the void, but that's fine. So I'm looking at the characters, and Ulfkell has a belief about taking apprentices into Scoria Deep to find a brewery, or claim a brewery.
But of course we're waiting for the all clear.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we did forget about him, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, he actually said, I'm going to stay behind this time.
Yeah.
So it'll be like an all Thandral episode with internal monologue.
with an occasional grunt from Flint.
At least he's not moaning about crowns and elven ghosts and so forth.
Oh, I'm sure that will come back to roost eventually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there'll be consequences as well.
I was just looking over my beliefs. It's like, scout Scoria, watch the prince's back, look for the shield. So, yes,
yeah, I'm good.
So it seems like your present priority is to still scrunch for information about the Goddardam family?
Oh, yeah.
Now that you're in Scoria, would you perhaps prioritize finding the shield, or where would you like to go with it?
On the way there, we thought this would be a desolate and empty place. And, well, it's not.
Nope.
Well, it is still kind of desolate and empty where we are, but obviously it's been occupied by these looters. Yes, think like a dwarf.
Well, I mean, you have some information. You've gleaned a letter.
Yes.
But to follow up on that letter, you maybe need to actually converse or confer with some other family members. I don't know. Unless you want to find even...
I could see going, yeah, excuse me, need to head back tomorrow. Need to talk to Grandpa. Say, you write this? Scrounge and dig for information on the Goddardam family is what I will do as part of Search for the Shield. Does that make sense?
I guess, but it doesn't feel like a goal, right?
Okay.
If you come across information, great, but do you want to know more about your family and the way they lived here? Or is the priority more finding the escutcheon and maybe after that, finding out what they were up to?
Yeah, good call. Let's...
I amended the second, my first belief, and I created a new third belief that I think is very actionable this session. I will teach Rory how to be a leader of dwarves and get a backbone. Left off and die trying. But, you
know. also left off, perpetuate cycle of abuse.
That's how I was taught. It's how my master was taught. It's how he was taught. Yeah, he was taught.
Yeah.
This goes back ages, lad. You just can't beat tradition out of us.
So Flint, if I read this correctly, then your primary goal is to find more information on the family.
Find more information on the family.
In the interest of finding the family shield, right? That's the first bit. Like find the shield.
I don't even know where the hold is located.
Right. Okay. And the rest, as you say, is good. And for our prince, let's see, restoring family prestige is the oath, right? Recover Goddamn Crest seems appropriate. Determine the score seems very appropriate. The only thing that might be a little past relevant would be to explore beyond the opening runic gate. Maybe the last belief is actually, like with John, I mean, determine if the humans in Scoria is a threat. That's part of leading your expedition there. Is it safe for the dwarves? Is it, you know?
Yeah.
And that leaves either putting back the belief about helping Ulfkell get his brewery or another one that you could author as it comes up.
Yeah. If I'm going to teach Rory, I have to use my learning skill.
That'll be fun. Maybe we could... have a scene where you're announcing that, you know, Rory's going to be, to everyone, Rory's going to be taking over
Reading
for
I can actually have a scene where I'm busy telling everyone that Rory is going to be in charge of setting things up, getting ready for the move in and everything, and I'll be hobnobbing with the other dwarves, important leadership stuff. So you got to listen to Rory, treat Rory like it's me there, which they won't.
We'll see.
We'll see.
And hopefully we'll give Thandril a thorough workout with his social skills this time.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. So where would you guys like to start? Should we start with the dwarves in the hold or the dwarves in the expedition?
I have a kernel of an idea that I want to get out early here. I can imagine Flint bending Thandril's ear and saying, you know, we should send Ty back to let the company know that the gate is open.
I don't know that we want the knowledge of that to get too widely spread.
Well, just look at all this empty space around here.
Yeah, we're doing this all in Dwarvish, of course, so our human guides can't understand it.
So look at all this empty space. If these humans are laying claim to Scoria, we need to set up a counterclaim. And if we move in, and it's ours already, I think it'll be more difficult for them to try to claim squatter rights. It's just an idea, sir.
It might not be a bad to send me back to get the company ready in case we need to deal with these humans.
That would be good, too. I'll send Ty off. Got that out of the way. Yay.
Now I want to know how inconspicuous Ty is.
Was he one of the scouts who got captured?
No, he was the one who
ran away.
And hit well.
Ooh.
So he does have hiding, maybe even stealth.
Yeah, let's go with stealthy. Let's see. He has three. If you want to send him away without break or noticing, perhaps you should help the poor.
Yeah. I was going to go be conspicuous in front of...
Oh, cool. So you help that way. Would Flint like to help in any way?
I have to make sure that Ty gets the order. But it just so happens I am oddly likable and swaggering, and I think I have some chuffing in there. So after I give Ty the order, Flint will join the prince in bedazzling Bregor.
With what kind of skill?
Well, I was actually going with traits. Oddly likable, chuffing, you know, because if I go with skill, intimidation isn't appropriate. So I will not be rolling a skill. I will be helping the prince.
If that's how you want to approach it, I could give poor Ty an advantage die for having a noisy, attention-stealing dwarf in front of him.
Absolutely.
However, you could just as well help him with stealthy. Wait until the prince has started talking, stick to those shadows, that kind of thing. Stealthy coaching.
Yeah, and stealthily notify Ty.
Yeah,
sure. If we must roll, that's the way to go. We'll go with the.
You don't have to do that. I'm just giving you an example of using a skill you have to earn tests, right?
Yeah. I suppose we can be stealthy, but we'll start with full on Thandril to bedazzle Bregor. Then we'll work on our sneakiness here.
Sure. So how, Thandril, do you approach Bregor with your conspicuousness?
Walk up to him and just start talking very loudly, of course, pointing in the opposite direction that we're sending Ty. I think I used to hang out at a tavern just down that way when I was young. Maybe a tale about, got in a really big fight and their misunderstanding over a young lass, gesticulating continually in the opposite direction and being loud. And
all right. I think that should work pretty well, because I don't think he expected you to be that old. So even though he's soured from Slate's clumsy overtures, he can't help but be a little... Like, you can see that he can't help but be a little impressed or surprised. So what's your constituency is three. So that's an ob four. So that's a challenging test for your conspicuous skill.
All right.
But you just get to record since you're helping. And Flint, your stealthy is
B4.
Four. Right. Okay. So you give Ty another die as well. So he has 5. So how do you help him with his stealthy test? By being stealthy, right? By your stealthy skills.
I sneakily communicate to Ty using our scout hand signs instead of actually speaking out loud on Dwarfish. Let him know to return to the camp. And I will leave it to Ty to blather.
like a third base coach busy scratching his face, you know.
I think we shouldn't necessarily put Todd on the spot too much with his voice, but I appreciate your quest for detail. I'm sure it's about, you know, a finger to the nose and winks and whistles. Not whistles. You did it silently, so.
I imagine it's quasi-military, since that seems to be a part of Dwarvish culture, at least the ones that we're associated with. Definitely
hand motions and such.
I wait for the nod from Ty and see if he heads out in the right direction.
Let's see how he does. All right. So he has 3 successes. That's not 4. So Gregor is kind of watchful. And this is Ty's about to break off from the rest of you. The dog, there's a little round of the dwarves. The opportunity is kind of is lost a little. So he's forced to duck in behind the others as Madra goes around and growls at him, sniffs about suspiciously, and then wanders back to the front. All right, so the ideal moment is past, but Ty manages to slip away a little later. So he does get away, but he gets away belated. Maybe I should hop on over to Oathkill while Flint is away, just in case Flint wants to grunt or something when we get into Scoria proper. Let's do the expedition. So you have all your apprentices. They've pretty much all packed up by now.
Eventually,
yeah. Things that are not there. And they're not tied up. And they're starting to kind of slack off. A few of them are sitting down, having a bit of a beer to themselves. Some of the others are, some of the meticulous ones who've taken after you, they're going around making sure that everything is tied down properly and shaking their heads at the laggards.
And if you're like me, then the guy behind them comes along and checks their checking, and the person behind him checks their checking. It's not do what I do what I say. And how much did Bear help in helping him? Or did she leave him alone? Or
she didn't do anything really. She helped securing things. Maybe she gave him a few encouraging glances, but she didn't actually help him. If you're talking about Rory,
yeah, I have a feeling that she probably just basically took over his little group and made sure they were ready, and left him to deal with my group. Probably.
All right, I'm forgetting that you offered her kind of the possibility of having a brewery of her own. So
yeah, and also, so I can walk you over there, and you know, I finished my beer. And him walking over there and saying by Rory, so looking around,
I didn't really listen to him.
Lad, you did good.
Oh, thank you. I thought maybe I would have disappointed you. I'm not sure they listened to me.
Yeah, met my expectations, so, you know, that's good.
We're almost done here, sir. What should we do now?
Aren't there things to be still be polished, things to be cleaned, things to be policed up around the camp and so forth? With a thumb sort of point at the slackers. Not everyone is gainful. Employed at this point in time. Look at Murtaugh. He's busy out there making sure everything's properly tied down and everything's arranged properly. That's what they should be doing. But look, I don't want to call it up because he has such a problem. But, you know, poor Rudy. He's not doing anything right now. He's just sitting there letting his brain work on him now. I mean, we don't want that to happen. You don't want the apprentices' time to think.
Well, this is why I thought you maybe weren't very happy with me, sir. They won't listen to me. Perhaps you could help me out. Perhaps you could give them a scolding or something, and then I could come in after and use the stick like you used to do.
No, okay. So I go out there and I say, oh, you naughty boys. You didn't listen to her.
I can see you waving your finger when you do that.
Now, what would they think about that? Were you standing up for yourself? Or were you leaning on me to give you the stand-up?
They already don't listen to me. Perhaps you could give them a little kick in the rear, and then I can go in and minister the final kick.
What they need is proper motivation.
Right, motivation. I was never very good at that. But perhaps you could give me an example.
Lad, watch and learn. Okay, you know, I grab a tankard and I step out and hold an empty tankard and just hold it out. And hopefully I don't wait.
Oh, right, okay. So Rory sort of scrambles and...
I put a hand on his shoulder and say,
Oh.
The finger up. I said, watch and learn, lad.
Oh, sorry.
Has anyone moved or noticed I have an empty tankard out?
Oh, well, when you have that, one of the dwarves who's tying down one of the wains jumps.
a finger up at him.
He looks and puzzled this is a test that he just failed.
I look over at the slackers. Are they still slacking?
Okay. Oh, yeah. They're starting to take out dice.
All right. I change my hold on the mug. I switch. I actually use it in my left hand. I switch to my right hand. Turn around. Take careful aim and throw. Should I actually roll that, see if I hit one of them?
Well, it depends on your intent. Do you mean to get their attention?
I'm aiming for their dice and coins.
All right. And that's going to be a say yes. Yeah, boom, the dice go flying, and they scramble about with great reverberant swears. And so, what are you doing that for? We're done.
You never done it, a brewer. There's always something you can do. There's always something you can clean. There's always something you can move. There's always something you can polish. At the very least, you can always come over and ask, what else you got for me to do? Have you not learned this? In my time, the only time you get off is when it's time to go pray. And that's it. Now, I won't be here forever. At this point in time, we have a guild. And Rory is the second of the guild. So his word has as much weight as mine does. If you want to become full brewers and get your own brewery, or at least work at a decent brewery, you will always listen to a guild member, especially the founding guild members. You understand that?
There are a few nascent sort of buts. Nobody really comes up with a good argument.
So, I'm going to go see how Frore's doing. And when I come back, I want to see everything he has shining. No, screw that. Scratch that. Go ask Rory what he wants you to do. And you'll do it. Not because I'm saying so. You're doing it because he's a brewer. And you'll respect all brewers, even if they are rat-scratching bastards who stick you in the back when they and steal your brew recipes. You're still a fellow brewer.
Let's see if you're listening.
Oh, should I make like a conspicuous?
That or intimidation could work as well.
Yeah, I guess I am intimidating them, so yeah, I've been in both learning skills, so whatever it is, it's going to be doubled. Ooh, got three. I could pop that six.
Actually, ignore that roll.
All right.
Or keep it. That's fine. Keep it because you have a six if you want. It's your choice. But I should have given you the obstacle before. It's going to be four, which is double to eight. Tough one. Mm-hmm. I think maybe you will want to hold off and decide if you want to spend persona on this. You can totally keep the dice you have there if you want to and just add an extra bunch of dice if you want to add persona because I'm feeling generous.
I think I'll add two more to that. I'll spend two persona. Okay, that's I'm halfway there. Top of fate, but not all the way there. So I got five.
So that was two persona and one fate spent on will. And you fail.
They're not listening to me. They're getting soft.
But it is a difficult test, right? Which means you have the three and one challenging. You need to raise your will to be six. Just remove the tests. Keep the fated persona.
Am I looking at a mutiny?
No, not necessarily. Jerk. I think I'm going to call on you to play one of them at least. And these guys are really fed up with Ulfkel. He's been beating them. He's been driving them hard. They've had short rations for a while. They really just want to have some fun. And now he wants to foist this crappy apprentice on them. You know, can't even stand up for himself. He's kind of going over the boundary.
Okay.
Like, how do you feel they would react?
I'll take their paddles over and throw them down at Ulfgel's feet. We've had enough of your tyrannical...
It is a mutiny.
Tyrannical orders and dealing with you is one thing. Now we got to deal with your idiot pet brewer.
Oh, nice.
I'm a better brewer than he is. There's no way I'm listening to him.
Now what then? Do you want to start throwing punches or do you want to use some other means of...
I see. Well, definitely an eyebrow goes up. Yeah, a better brewer than he is? Which one is he? You mean throw a name at him or...
Sure. Let's find a name. If anyone has a name before I do, just feel free to shout it.
Aethelbald.
Okay.
Wasn't you the one that made that beer that smelt like skunks, a skunk's behind?
Tasted fine.
Well, if you can get past the stench. All right, Rory, have a seat.
Okay, he does, way back over there.
Not so far, lad.
Sorry, he comes over with his little trivet.
So, what would you do at this point in time? We're about to go into Scoria Deep. What would you do to get everyone ready?
Are you asking me, sir?
No, I'm asking Aethelbald.
Oh, sorry.
You know, we don't know what kind of dangers are in there. There may be a dragon. What are you going to, how would you prepare all these fellas for that?
Maybe, sir, this has nothing to do with brewing, says...
It's everything to do with brewing.
Oh, sorry.
This is part of our religion.
It probably is your religion. Ethelbald is going to throw down his gauntlet, his figurative gauntlet. He's going to say, even you have no idea. I don't think you are worthy to lead anyone anyway, much less that runt. I think I'm much more worthy to get this expedition into Scoria, and I'll prove it. And I think he flies on you with intent to wrestle you.
Okay. Let's see, I got brawling. Straight versus test, or you want to do the...
Oh, yeah. If you think it's fun, then we could do a bloody versus. It seems to be a fairly straightforward versus test to me. It doesn't seem like you are trying to kill each other.
No, but basically he's thinking he can take me down, the spider breaker of Maul.
Yeah, right. And then your reputation will be in tatters and so forth. Exactly.
Yeah.
Of course, since you've been working him so hard, he's really... got super powered from all the lifting and carrying. He's shade shifted his power.
He earned so much Arta from his. He's gonna do whatever he wants.
I hate the metagame, but how many dice is he rolling?
Four.
My brawling's three, so I have no other skills that would be anything like military.
If you want to show him up in a spider breakaway, then you should do a versus power test. You know, you should wrestle him down and lock him down.
Oh, my power is B4, and I can spend persona, and he can't. So I got three persona left. I'm going to save one persona. I'm going to spend two persona on that, so I have one persona left. So that would give me six dice.
Wait, you don't have power as a greed idiom, do you? That's my little thing.
My greed idiom is craftsmanship, beauty, and wealth. We'll see what he rolls. You see before I pop that six.
I'm going to spend his one persona and tap his greed of three. He's going to be rolling. I'm sorry, I should have done that before, but now that it came up, right? But, you know, that's all the art that he has. He has no fate. He has nothing like that. And these are not open-ended dice, right? I see a six for you. So, he has three successes.
And I have three, but I can pop a fate and pop that six. So we're tied. We're wrestling.
You know what? Maybe we should take this to a bloody versus.
Yes, yeah.
You're starting to wrestle, you're kind of evenly matched, and then he gets really angry because he's not getting what he wants.
So he's
totally getting into it. He's I'm going to murder you. All the apprentices and some of the other dwarves right around, you know, start to congregate. Like, what the hell is going on here? Like, they're fighting. Get the beer.
I've been on Ulfgill. I've been on Ulfgill.
Yes.
They're locked up and neither one can overpower the other. So Ithbal just goes, oh, fuck, and headbutts him.
Oh, nice. And that leads into the big bloody versus. Hey, Dirk, do you want to roll for Ethelbald?
Sure.
So what's his power as well?
He has four in both. Four brawling, four power. But this is a power test. Unless you want to go with brawling and take
No. I think a power versus power. Sadly, I don't think I have any combat advantages.
Welcome back, Todd. We have a brewer dispute in progress.
Okay, I love the way you make friends.
Oh, wow. I am wearing a light mail vest. That does give me some advantages.
Not when someone is trying to twist your head off. So I think we should get all the armor stuff, but generally speaking, you have four power dice, right?
Yep.
And he does too. Now, neither has a longer weapon. You don't have weapons that are, you know, good or bad versus armor. None of the armor really matters. Do you have any vices or other forks that you want to use? All right, I'm sorry. I shouldn't ask that because we're doing a power test.
Stats.
Never mind me.
And I dropped my mug.
Do you have any trait that you could invoke for advantage dice? Here's maybe a great opportunity to use ambidextrous, right?
Oh. Because
maybe you box one arm, but, you know, you're just as good with the other.
Hauls back with his right, pops him with the left. Did you see that coming, did you? Arr!
Or I can pull on the one trait I seem to use a lot, impulsiveness. There's that beard right in front of me. Yank into my up-thrusted knee.
I'll give you one. Which would you like to go with? Impulsiveness? Is that more fun?
Yeah. I just, you know, improvised fighting. So give me five dice.
And I'm going to ask Dirk to roll 4 dice for Ethelbald. You get to decide how many dice you want to put in attack and how many in defense, and Ulfkill does the same.
He's all hopped up on greed. He's going to go 3 and 1. 3 attack.
Oh, cool.
1 defense.
I guess I'm going to go 2 and 3.
2 attack, 3 defense?
Yeah. So I defend. He doesn't. So I hit, but he doesn't hit me.
Your attack is 1 and your defense is 2. Right. You managed to lock him down, I guess.
And do a little damage to him. I mean, I got he did not defend, so I got through.
Mind you, it's more a wrestling match than a brawl. Yeah. Maybe a pulling of beards and tweaking of ligaments, something like that. Okay, so let's describe this, like, because this is like 5 minutes of you rolling around between the wains on the cave floor in the dirt with all the other dwarves cheering and drinking around you, right?
Yeah.
So how does this look? How does his like attacks not go through? And how do you twist him around and lock him down?
Yeah, I mean, I just power through it. I mean, you know, he tries to pull me down. I just get out, and eventually he makes a move, and he lets go of one of my hands and allows me to reach out, grab him by the beard, yank him face down into the dirt, and lets me get an arm twisted behind him. So I'm on his back now.
All right, you're on his back with your arm around his neck or something, like under his beard, holding his beard maybe.
He got his other arm twisted around behind him.
Right, he's underneath. You're sitting on him.
He's
all covered in cave filth. You're victorious. He's just lying there swearing at you.
Every time he swears, I push the arm up a little higher. Dwarf rider him off. It's not Brokeback Mountain, okay? Ethelbald, you swore that as my apprentice, you'd do as you're told. You're saying that that your word is no damn good?
Yeah, I think by this time, like, kind of the big fire oomph in him is kind of, it's sort of bled away. He's exhausted himself. He's just panting. So I think he utters something like, "Fine, you bastard. I'll do my share of my work. Just let go of the arm. You're breaking it."
I let go and I stand up, you know, dusting myself off.
Force around are just like, "Oh, Ulfkill, Spider Breaker!"
Now, do I see any coins going back and forth amongst them? I make note of who's taking the coins.
Absolutely.
I'm making note of who's handing the coins out, because they actually bet against me.
I think the majority betted on you, but his buddies look particularly deflated, and one of them is handing over a big purse, and the other is like throwing his dice away and then just going over to the carts and lifting crap. Because, you know, by lifting crap, I mean he gets to work.
No, I sort of stand up, and, you know, then I look down at Ethelbald and I hold a hand out and, "You need a hand up, lad." I pull him up.
He holds his arm. And he's sort of squinting because half of his face has been pressed into the dirt at one point, so it's all sort of messy. And yeah,
I knock some dust off of him. "First off, lad, you got to learn how to wrestle." You know, if we
a low growl, but, you know, he doesn't say anything.
Yeah, I need to find a couple of nice barmaids to learn with, you know. And second, don't talk back to your master. I've got things to do. I am one of the princes, you know, trusted dwarfs.
Yes, fine. I get it. I'll listen to...
No, just don't. You're not getting it. Suppose I had died someplace. Who would have been in charge? Rory would have been. And you'd be treating him like dirt. And this is my turn to look at Rory. And Rory!
Yes. He leaps. Oh, well. He ambles up with his stick. Yes, he hobbles up.
I give him a soft clot to the head.
Ow!
Now, what are you going to do about that?
You know, there's a moment of, you can see the celebrations flying through his head, and then he lifts the stick and whoops it over Ethelbald's head.
Oh, I catch it.
Oh, okay.
No, lad, what are you going to do about this? Slap.
What are you doing? What did I earn that for?
You're not going to stand up for yourself?
Slap. Like he did, he just wrestled him, and that was bad, wasn't it?
Yes, but we came to an agreement. At least he stood up for himself. Slap.
You know what? This looks like an instruction test, right?
Oh, yeah.
Let's see if he gets
a bad one.
Yes. He's starting to be an instructor.
Ulfkill, if he were to teach a kid how to go swimming, he would grab him by the shorts and toss him in the water.
Don't die!
So what's my obstacle for this?
Yeah, I think it's a 3. So
it's going to be 6.
It's a routine. It's going to count for giving you a test toward opening instruction. But as you say, the actual doubled obstacle is 6. If you succeed, he gets it. He's going to, you know, launch into a very stupid but hopefully instructive brawl with you. If you don't, he is going going to lose heart and run away, or hobble away as it is.
You're going to make me spend that last bit of persona, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll spend that last bit of persona, so I have 7 dice. So I have a better than 0 chance.
Oh.
Halfway there, I'll spend another fate. Ooh.
Ooh. And keep rolling. Oh.
Missed it by 1.
You can just see him buckle. Part of him wants to stand up, but he just doesn't have the heart or the will. So there's a snivel, and then he sort of whirls about and hobbles away as fast as he can, sort of going...
They catch Bear's eye. I sort of, you know, give a nod and like...
Yeah, she
like,
wears up.
Yeah.
But she's rolling up her sleeves, so you never know what's going to happen.
I turn around and look at Ethelbald. Right. Ethelbald, make sure everything is... everyone's ready to go. Make sure we can go at a moment's notice, because right. We never know when word will come that it's time for us to pull out and head into Scoria. Cue Ty to show up.
I'll do that next time we go to the expedition. Back in Scoria, in the darkened, overgloomed, largely abandoned outer portion of Scoria proper, right? Our dwarves are approaching the inhabited portions of the hold, and just as Ty manages to slip away, you start to hear voices, and you see low radiance of habitation further in. You go through this little tunnel, and that opens up into one of the big thoroughfares of Old Scoria. This is nothing like Fandor remembers. It's dark, except for a few heavenly, you know, requisite slanting shafts of light from somewhere above, right? Here and there are like little braziers with coals or fires or tapers, little candles with mirrors around them to give illumination. And there are a bunch of people, and they're all in the same style as Bregor. Like, they're not all armed or armored, but they're all kind of dark. They have long hair. They're not painted the way the other humans were, but some of them have their foreheads painted entirely red. Others have an arm dipped in red, as if there's some significance to it. And in the doorways to various halls and domiciles, you see these great big beasts of their warhounds, you know, lying, lazing, licking their chops. It appears that they're either not interested in learning, or they haven't figured out how the gas stuff works, because in Scoria's day, you pumped up gas to have sort of gas lights. All of those are dead. No activity there. They're using primitive stuff. Smells a bit like maybe they're using dung as fuel as well. And as you enter this new portion, Flint, you notice this boy. It's tough to tell with the humans, but you think he's in the 10-ish region. He has a shaved head. He has the same kind of puffy trousers that Bregor has on, and the same sort of yellow winding bands around the lower legs to sort of keep them up, to keep them puffy. Other than that, his feet are bare, and he sees your retinue. You see Bregor and the hound and all the dwarves come, not stomping up, but, you know, being dwarfy, up into the living quarters or where the humans dwell. And he gets this look of like, holy crap. And then he spins around and starts sprinting away into the crowd. And Bregor says, he turns to you and he says, all of you, and he says, it were best if you kept together here and kept your axes in their loops and your shields close, so we don't accidentally set anyone off or create a scene. And he points all the way over toward, through the thoroughfare that's just packed with people, up toward where the Scoria throne room is. And he says, over there is where Lord Rom abides. I will take you there, and you will go before him, and I hope he will recognize you as guests. Starts off. Okay, cool. When you start walking through there, the people stop whatever they're doing. Some of them appear to be sharpening tools or weapons. Others appear to be cooking or just talking. There are men, there are women. They stop to stare when you go through. It's like nobody expected you to be here. And of course, yes, many. And of course, in the gloom, Fandral's dwarven mail is like a rainbow raiment of I am important, right?
Yes, he's pulling himself up to his full 4.5-foot height or whatever. Got his beard looking as magnificent as it can and being conspicuously a dwarven prince.
Awesome. Okay. So you're halfway up to the throne room when You're approached by this group of armed people with more warhounds. Like, they seem to be Bregor's type of people. And one of them with a helmet on, this weird spired helmet with a dragon's head on top, comes up to Bregor and says, "Halt! Bregor, what is this?" And Bregor says, "Your leave, Commander. These are visitors. I thought it best we present them to Lord Rom officially. I hope I have not overstepped my authority." The commander takes off his helmet, and he has this shaved countenance like most of the men here. Half his face is red, painted red, and he looks you over with quite a bit of contempt. "I am Commander Gromus, and I am watch captain of Scoria. Who are these people? Who are you?" He points to Fandral.
"I am Fandral, Prince of Scoria."
"There are no princes of Scoria. Scoria was a ruin. What is your game here?" And as he says that, Bregor says, "Please, Commander, you mustn't anger the... You know the pact." And the commander is like, "I want to hear an answer."
"What was his question?"
Now you're going to make me doubt myself.
He was on a roll until you had him.
There are no... What's your game? There are no princes of Scoria. Yes. Scoria was a ruin when we came here. Who are you, really?" That's the spirit of what he was asking.
"The dwarves have been gone from Scoria. We have returned."
He looks you all over, and then he says, Fine. "The dwarves will speak to Lord Rom, but I will not have them bearing arms in the living quarters, nor do I want them to bear armor. This is not a war party. This is an envoy to Lord Rom. Tell them all to take their accoutrements off," he says to Bregor. Bregor looks kind of pale, like he's trapped between two very unpleasant points. He begins to like, "But Commander, perhaps this is not a wise decision," and the commander...
"We've come here in peace with your man. We have slung our axes, but we would meet your leader as we are."
"If you come in peace, then you have no use for your war gear. Take it off."
Looking at them with their weapons, you know, "Well, you seem to have use for your war gear, so we should keep ours."
"You're strangers here. We live here."
"You are strangers here. This is Scoria. Scoria is dwarven."
Okay. He flings his arms wide and almost shouts, "Do you see any dwarves in Scoria?"
Oh, Flint can't stop there. He turns and looks back at the company. "I see plenty of dwarves in Scoria."
Bregor turns to Fandral and says, "Perhaps we can placate him somehow. Could you perhaps agree to curtail your band to a handful?"
"Myself and two of my lieutenants will meet your leader. The rest will remain here."
How about you make a persuasion test with a bonus die? And you can work in etiquette or whatever, and the obstacle is going to be 4.
We'll throw in etiquette.
Excellent.
And a couple persona.
Do you have, like, "I'm the prince, damn it"? You should.
Well, you could always give him that trait in the trait vote.
Well, I do have a Collins trait that'll help me if I need it.
True.
Ah, he does have undaunted. That could be handy.
My driven, my call on for persuasion.
True.
Persona, that gets me to 9. And I'll need my call on trait to reroll traitors.
1, 2, 3. Okay. 6 traitors? Yeah.
Yeah, just made it there.
All right, cool. The commander does not look pleased. He grunts and says, "The rest can stay in the barracks. I will escort them personally. You and your trusted can go with Bregor. But I have my eyes on you. So who do you pick?"
To rephrase that, do you split the party?
No, I'll take Flint and play in that affair.
Did Roar go with us?
No.
Roar, no. He's back in camp keeping track of all the remaining weapon men.
That's a shame, because he's a brute.
Not very diplomatic, though, so maybe good. He's
no.
Yeah, he is outspoken, too. What about Lumby?
Lumby? Who's Lumby?
The one with the knot in the back of his head.
Unferth.
Unferth. Okay. All right. So Slate and the rest are guided.
Oh, Slate. Ooh, yeah.
Aside. Slate seems to be a little shamed because he caused a bit of an unpleasantness with Bregor.
Yeah.
Yeah. he seems to be eyeing a lot of the dogs anyway, so he seems preoccupied.
Yeah, probably not the best diplomatically right now. Somehow I'm sure dogs would enter into the bargaining.
Prince, we should get some of these dogs. Damn it, I'm negotiating for Scoria. Okay, Bregor lets out like a long breath after the commander has left. Like, oh, that could have gone worse. Let's hope Lord Rahm is generous. And he shows you up further toward the Rune Room. And as you approach it, you see less and less people, almost like...
What was the name of the commander again? Short-term memory.
Did I say it? If I didn't, then Gregor will say, you know, that could have gone worse. Commander Gromus is
Gromus.
Hard-nosed, hard-headed. So yeah, Flint, Andril, and Unferth. Still a pretty shiny little retinue. Anyway, like I said, the closer you get to the throne room, the less people you see. Maybe they don't think they're worthy to live in, you know, close to the throne room. Maybe they want to leave some space. Maybe, who knows?
Is this the Scoria throne room or just a room that they made?
Okay. Yes, this is. You are ascending up the stairs, up the main thoroughfare up that goes to the Scoria throne room with the dragon throne, the big, huge place that your father used to sit in. As you ascend the stair, there's this heat. There's this almost unnatural, unpleasant heat that comes from above, from the throne room, right?
I'm walking up there, a statue that's missing a nose, and I nudge Fandral and go, yeah, I did that.
hold on, this is momentous. Do you mean you nudge Flint?
Yeah.
Right, because you said Fandral.
Oh, man.
Finally!
I knew who he meant.
Bastards, yeah. You got to me.
kicked off the call for no good reason to use the wrong name.
Yeah.
Right, do you mean like my statue, or that's...
It's missing its nose because of me. I was sparring with old Master Wolfera and swung a bit wide.
I imagine he had too much nose to begin with.
Old Vandra wasn't happy with me.
Right, you banter away.
Yeah, to me this is great. I'm back where...
Except, like I said, instead of the usual sort of cool, temperate atmosphere that you would get when you approach the throne room, this kind of, I'm sure, sort of designed to give you a sense of sort of cool, shivery unease when you have to go before the leader, the great prince of the dwarves. Instead of that, like I said, there's this almost unnatural heat that emanates from up above that slowly intensifies the closer you get up there. Bregor's warg hound, for lack of a better term, she sort of makes unpleasant noise, sort of whiny noises, and then she decides to stay.
Duly noted.
But, you know, Bregor keeps walking, notices that she stops, but then he keeps walking, makes sure that you're with him, and he notices that you're bantering about noses or something, or statues, whatever you're pointing. As you reach sort of the big platform that is the last great big step before the ridiculously oversized, overtall double gates.
Six doors wide.
Yeah, absolutely super silly that lead into the throne room proper. You see this little retinue of like five women. The foremost one is like the rest of the humans here, tall, dark-haired, swarthy. She has this kind of, if you were a dwarf, you'd probably say, oh, that's totally a Dvergr dwarf. Yes. She has this sort of fur-trimmed cloak on in spite of the heat, right? And her forehead is red, painted red. And she has this hairdo that's kind of like a Chinese queue, where the front portion of the head is shaved, and the rest is sort of puffed up and then brought back into several queues. She parts from the other four women and approaches Bregor, and Bregor does some kind of obsequy, like a deep bow or something, and he says, "Lady," she, unlike Commander Gromus, she has a fascinated look on her face. And she looks you three over, and she says, "Watchman, who were these visitors? I do not recognize them. Are they new envoys?" "That is not for me to say, lady," says Bregor. And then she turns to Fandral, because he's the one who glitters the most, and says, "You there, are you a Marl dwarf?"
"I was born in Scoria." Yeah.
She pauses a moment at that, and then she says, "And you have come to..."
I've returned.
All right. Is your errand one of business or peace or war, if I may ask?
I hope of peace.
Interesting. Gromos, you may take them ahead. It was a pleasure to make your acquaintance, Prince. Or actually, you said you just said you're from Scoria, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so then she says, it's a pleasure to make your acquaintance, ..
Then I hold out my hand, Prince Fandral, and you are?
My name is Lady Villari. She has to bow a little anyway to reach down to your hand, but she does that kind of curtsy thing.
Flint will also bow, kind of elbow unfirth to show some respect.
He grunts and sort of does some kind of nod. And the lady straightens and she says, I wish you the best of luck with Lord Rahm. And she has this mystic look on her face, but then she turns away and signals the rest of the women, and then they begin to descend the great stair.
Everyone looks to Bregor.
But yeah, Bregor is a little paler than he was when you met him, and he's sweating a little. But otherwise, actually, he's rubbing a little bit of red paint from one of his eyes because it's starting to run.
Like he wants to.
Who is that lady?
The lady is one of present Scoria's more influential individuals. She commands a business and has men-at-arms.
Interesting. I wouldn't think Lord Rahm, the way he treats us, will allow anyone else to have arms.
We are all one people, you understand. Lord Rahm only does what is good for the people.
Sounds like a wise ruler.
His wisdom is his own. I would not presume to question or attempt to understand it. You get the sense maybe that there's a very strong like hierarchy, and you have your job, and going outside of that job is both unpleasant and unexpected and unwanted, all three.
Oh, so that's actually kind of dwarfy.
It's somewhat dwarfy, yeah, but this seems to be less, this is our tradition and more based on...
Fear and...
fear and ruling with an iron fist, perhaps, or yeah.
Well, it is immediate. Known that dwarves are much more dutiful than humans, so... they have to be motivated differently.
I presume that was in their monologue from Todd and not necessarily what Flint says.
Well, not in the trade tongue, for sure.
Okay, so Gregor goes to shoulder one of the great doors open, and it opens a crack, and there's a slight intensification of the heat. And he signals you to follow, and he goes into the great throne room. Oh, and before you enter, you can see there's an unusual, unexpected, for Fandral at least, because you're the only one who's been here before, there's an unexpected reddish glow inside.
They're keeping it a lot warmer here than I remember.
Oh, yeah, I should totally say Flint. Like,
I'm expecting a great forge.
Flint, just generally for the hold. I mean, you've been to Marl, you've probably been one or two tours to Regolith in the course of your host stuff, but this hold is, the statues are masterfully carved, the halls are tall and anally precise, the marriage of cave and dwelling is just poetry, everything is just whoa, and this is when it's overgloomed, right? The gas lights are not on, the dwarven sweeps have not been out, stuff like that, and this is the quote-unquote crappy version.
You can get a taste of its former glory.
Absolutely.
And it was very glorious.
You enter into the throne room. It used to be kind of bright with, light reflecting on absolutely spotlessly polished, like marble-esque stone and mirrors and stuff. Now it's dark. There are sections of platform. So if you're a petitioner, you can go to the first and then you stand there and mill around and then you walk up a short stair and there's a next and there's a short stair and there's a next. And then finally there's the up there. There's the final platform of the throne and stuff. And all these steps are strewn with mirror shards, and they're cracked. And through the cracks, you see this reddish glow, and there's smoke and fumes coming up out of them. And, the marble-type stone is cracked, and the walls are cracked. It's like someone's had a bunch of earthquakes in here, private little earthquakes or something. Like the mountain is almost averse to whoever or whatever is dwelling in here. Your boots crunch as you walk up the steps. Bregor is visibly what's the word? He's not he's not pleased to be here, really, necessarily. And up there, you know, you can see the top of the throne, and as you ascend, you can see this figure sitting on the throne as if in some sort of ague, like he's wrestling with fever or unpleasant thoughts, like a combination, right? And as you near, right, the figure comes into view. There's the great, how did we describe the dragon throne? It was inside a dragon's skull?
The jaws, yeah.
Right, jaws, yeah. So now there are cracks in the wall and cracks around the floor that give this reddish illumination. So it's kind of like your dad's throne room went to hell, literally. And in the midst of the jaws, right, is this dude who looks kind of like a sickly, ashen, sweaty version of Mola Ram from Temple of Doom. He's bald, he's large, he has these double black and red robes that are peeled away from his right arm and shoulder, so that side of his body is bare. He has these fangs and fiery jewels around his neck. The top of his head at one time was painted as brilliantly and brightly red as Bregor's forehead, but you can see that it's faded, probably because he is, like I said, he has a sheen of sweat on him, and he looks up at you approaching, right, with like dark ringed thick eyes, but there's also a bright flame like mania in them. And when he speaks, because he does, he says, "Who are these petitioners?" And when he speaks, right, there's like fumes coming out of his mouth, not thick like cigarette smoke or anything, but it's like the heat out of him is much warmer than the air, which is really weird because it's a pretty warm place presently, right?
It's like heat waves are coming out of his mouth, is what you're saying.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. I think I'm gonna award you guys a steel test later because this is so weird, but it's not a steel test where you go, oh, shit, I'm shitting myself. It's not that kind of situation. You don't want to run and scream necessarily, but it's an unnatural, weird situation and person. And Bregor makes this very deep bow, and he doesn't get up from it. It's almost like he's down on one knee, actually, with a fist to the floor where like these fumes are dancing. And he says, great Lord Ram, these are dwarves out of, they say they are from Scoria. A great prince has come to present himself to you. And Lord Ram looks over to you three. There's really no, you know, mystery who's the prince. So he looks at Fandral and says, "What do you want?"
"You're in my seat."
"Bregor, are these dwarves here as entertainment, or are you wasting my time?" And Bregor tries to say something, but he's not sure what to say. He says, "Great Lord, these are, they, it's not a," yeah, he just devolves into things. So, Lord Ram,
I imagine him actually physically scurrying away from Ram.
You can tell that he wants to do that, like, because his entire body is sort of squirming or quaking, but it's like that dutiful part of him won't let him. So Lord Ram gets up instead, and he walks over to Fandral, like he's two sword lengths away, and he says, "What do you mean by I am in your seat?"
"I am the rightful Prince of Scoria. That is my seat."
Gives you a look, and then he says, "It's no longer your seat. I occupy it. Begone."
He seemed to be very undiplomatic for a squatter.
There's a look of the briefness of confusion on his face. And then he says, "You are not an envoy of Dunis, are you?"
"No, though I would be interested in what negotiations you've made with him."
He backs away and sits down on the throne again, and then he looks to be deep in thought. And then he says, "Are you now Prince of Marl?"
"Yeah."
"And Dooney is no longer in power?"
"Dooney has never been in power. If he told you that, he lied."
"I made a pact with Dooney many years ago in exchange for the occupation of Scoria for 111 years. We agreed to offer him the useless bounty in this place. Knickknacks, valuables that dwarves would like. But I have not heard from him in a while."
The prince put him in his place.
"Are you here then to renegotiate or nullify this pact?"
"Well, it will certainly have to be at least renegotiated, because Duny had no rights to negotiate with you.
If one dwarf who comes to me has no authority, why should I believe the word of another?
Look at the bottom of the chair in which you sit. You will see a rune, the first letter of my name. They caught me before I could finish writing the whole name in.
One of his hands goes sort of furtively down, like almost like it's not part of his conscious thought, to sort of feel where it is. And he says, I do not read your scribbles, but this at least is proof that you have been in this hall, or have talked to one who has. Either way, I do not see this as proof that you have any authority.
Where is the proof that you have any agreement to be here?
You have Duny secured, or is Duny dead?
He was breathing last I saw him.
Then speak with Duny, if you require confirmation. Now, is there anything else?
At least I can give him credit for confidence.
How many other people are in this room?
How many other people?
Yeah.
It's just Bregor and you three dwarves. And, of course, Lord Rom. What's he going to do?
Yes. Follow his lead. I don't know where we're going with this.
You have a guy who breathes heat. You got a feeling that he may also breathe something else that's hot.
Yeah, but I'm getting the feeling that...
Neither one of you have negotiation as a skill?
No, I feel that he's not going to be willing to negotiate here.
You certainly get the sense that he doesn't feel like he is in a position where he needs to negotiate. Like, it's like the squabbling of dwarves is beneath him.
Do I get an impression of the size of the group? How many humans we've kind of, as we've gone through
It's a sizable population. If you're asking how large a fighting force they have, that's a trickier question.
Yeah.
They're not up to the numbers that would occupy Marl in the old days, but they probably are almost as many as there are dwarves in Marl. Like they probably came here and then they settled down to spawn.
Yeah, and they do breed.
And brought their children with them.
How can something so big breed so fast?
The goblins are worse, right? At 10, they're dangerous.
How long ago was this lease you made with Duny initiated?
He looks up into one of the distant openings in the ceiling where like this pale light is being slain by the red radiance. And he says, 10 years this week. 101 years remaining.
So you've done all this damage in just 10 years? Looking at all the cracks and...
Glances about him. The mountain will settle in time.
Well, the dwarves are returning to Skoria.
Ooh, he looks like, what should he do about that? He crosses his legs and then he says, this I am not necessarily averse to. You can have a hold, so long as you behave and observe the laws of the serpent people when you treat with them.
No, I may not be averse to letting you remain in Skoria, but I will want my throne back.
I hear you are long-lived. In time, 101 years. You can have it.
No, your agreement with Duny had no basis.
Then why should I not hold it for longer? You don't seem to be here in force.
Is that all you will listen to then, is force?
he makes this unpleasant grin. He says, I would rather we didn't clash, but if you mean to oust my people from their home, that is inevitable.
I am willing to allow your people to stay in my hold, my Skoria.
They can stay in humble Fandralville.
Yeah, we have to look at his beliefs. He says, well, you have not given me a compelling argument to give you this throne. So until you do, you may have your hold, your little hold, somewhere in the outskirts.
I'm thinking we're going to have to break here.
Oh, right. During time or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's painful. Will they come to blows? What will they do?
Will Ulfkill muddy the waters by showing up at the gates with the rest of the company, led by Roar, who is also probably itching to get in here. The two people you actually wouldn't want working together.
Well, I mean, okay. In that case, we can put a sock in it here. And
Go with your kid.
Actually, it's more like, I guess we could bite our tongue at this point.
Decide how we want to do this. We want to go to dice or a fight or something later, next time.
Almost needs a Batman ending. Join us next time, Will Thandrill. Will Thandrill come to blows with this usurper of his throne? Will Rory get a backbone? Will Ulfkel finally learn how to teach? And will Flint realize that he is the rightful heir to the throne?
No.
No. That's where there's a Fandral voice coming up saying, allegedly, it seems that certainly Lord Rom believes that might makes right. So maybe it's little fluid.
I think it's wonderful because he doesn't know that we came through the gate. He doesn't know about our strength in numbers.
Nope.
He's probably wondering where the hell Gromus is. Burning wheel question. Since we're kind of mid-scene, at session end, do we still do the war awards, or does that all merge together into the resolution of the scene?
If you've earned anything, then you should be awarded for it at the end of the session. It's just that some of the drama is in progress.
Yeah.
And you may need the points.
True.
Take it up.
Yes.
Especially the prince.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go over them quickly. Fandral, you're certainly in the middle of determining whether the humans in Skoria are a threat.
Done that.
Yeah. I think, take a persona point. That's pretty clear. At least under Lord Rom, they are. Yeah, take a fate for getting this far, right? If you've been mixed up in some kind of kerfuffle down before you even got to the throne room, then Flint wouldn't have had much chance of getting his crest, I think. And you are working toward restoring the family prestige, so take another fate, two fate, and one persona. Let's see, Flint.
Kind of took a back seat, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, it was, that kind of session. You did help Fandral, so take a fate for that. Or rather, you helped Ty, and that was, in the service of helping Fandral, so. And for Ulfkel... Well, you tried. You tried.
Yeah, I tried.
You certainly tried.
This gets me a fate.
And I think you should get another fate, because you got Athelbald to get the rest in motion where, Rory didn't. That hits the other belief about leading the princess to Skoria Deep. Okay, so let's go to instincts. Any instincts that really put you in trouble this time? Because they served you this time. Don't trust people who are not dwarves.
Well, I'm expecting my orders of him getting out of my seat to be followed, and he's not doing it.
Well, he is not under your command, so I don't know.
He's a prince. Everyone's under his command.
I'd have my hand, like, belief that says dwarves are superior to all other races and therefore should follow their, command. Something like that.
That's not a belief. It's written in stone.
Guys, I think you're all worth an embodiment persona.
Yay!
The confrontation and Ulfkel's little mess with the others.
Kerfuffle, yeah. Starting to make Ulfkel wonder if he actually knows what he's doing.
Doubt? I don't think that's in your vocabulary.
Mm. Nah, probably more like disappointment.
Any workhorse or MVP? Workhorse, again, the usual, slaving away behind the scenes, getting things to work, helping.
Flint for getting tied back.
That was just a little bit. If there's anything that's more workhorsey, it would be Ulfkel trying to get the company motivated and trying to educate people. We didn't say it was successful workhorse.
I think that feels a little personal, though. Maybe that's not, workhorse per se.
Yeah, that's I was following my beliefs. So yeah, that's I got word that for I got faith for that. So I don't think so. No.
Any most valuable player?
Oh, Fandral.
Yeah.
All right. Couldn't have got this deep in without him. It is bullish personality. So negotiate? No, that's my throne. Not open to negotiation.
No, he's open, but this guy isn't open. So
I think you are just as bad, both of you.
I have a lease. What do you have? I have my axe.
Oh, crap. I should have described that. Oh, well, I'll do that next time. All right. Well, no deeds yet. We'll see how things go next time. Cool. Oh, yeah. I'm so excited because finally we're getting into stuff that I started to set up in, the first two sessions of this game.
Yes. Actually, but here's the funny thing. I still imagine shenanigans with Slate going on as well.
Sure, sure.
I could see Slate, you know, kind of grumbling and grousing that he's been set aside with, you know, all the rest. And it just turns out maybe this particular housing, as an insult, it's actually near the dog pens.
Puppies!
So it's like, they won't miss one. Look, there's a whole litter of them over there.
But it does explain, Howard, this has explained why Dooney has been so against us coming here.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da.
Yes. Yes. What I love is the miscommunications and stuff that are going on between the various parties. It's like, cool.
So did I understand that maybe Dirk needs to skedaddle?
I'm thinking what we were going to get into was going to take longer than we had.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Hey, we can have a contest of wills.
Yeah, a simple persuasion test is not going to cut it. I'm sorry.
I can see the Lord going, yeah, you're right. Yeah, we're supporters.
I see your point.
Oh, everybody pack up. We'll take over that elven community now.
It doesn't look like even Duel of Wit's going to work because he doesn't seem to be agreeable to that sort of persuasion.
At least you could wring a compromise out of him, even if you don't win. But the downside is, of course, that he's probably going to wring a compromise out of you if you engage him that way.
And, of course, we have the Chekhov's guns floating out there. Somewhere in this hold is that hammer.
Are you sure? Remember what he said?
Oh, he's so...
certain gugos and crap to Dooney over the years, part of their pact.
Oh, so dumb.
Maybe it's not at all in Scoria.
It's hidden someplace in Dooney's collection. I wouldn't put it past Dooney getting stuff, you know, things like...
Goddamn crest. I'd kill him for it.
Thank you for playing, guys. This was great. Wonderful calm session. Well, calm. I mean,
a little froggy and a little broken.
Poor Dirk being kicked off the call twice. Or was it three times?
Twice, I think, yeah.
Twice, okay. Yeah.
I will catch you all later. Thank you very much for putting up with Plaguey Me. You all take care. Bye-bye.
See you next time.
You too.
Bye-bye. Oh, speaking of names, hilarity. Now that I'm listening to, like, the episodes again, it's almost painful how many times we mix up the names of the apprentices and who survived and who didn't. And,
yeah.
But you know what? Ulfkill was perhaps a bit confused and up, you know.
In on fire.
Yeah, so maybe he thought he's rescued one dwarf when he actually rescued another, stuff like that. Anyway.
Who can tell under the badges, who can tell under the badges who it is right now? Yeah, we don't know.
True.
For we know, it's not Froar under those badges, it's Kaim under the badges.
Oh, that would be freaky, wouldn't it?
Would that add to his paranoia? I don't know.
Send all complaints and other feedback, sunnyskypers@zoho.com. That's ZOHO.com or ZOHO.com if you prefer. Or come by the forums, sunnyskypers.freeforums.org. Or yell at us at whatever forum you may come across us on.